on AM 950 listeners, Doug Padgett in here with you at 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock in with Brett. And like a lot of people, following some national news as well as some of the local political news happening here in the Twin Cities, there got to be a debate today between those people that want to represent the great state of Minnesota as a congressperson in the 3rd Congressional District, that being the Dean Phillips taking on the incumbent Eric Paulson race, which means a lot to me. I've had a real bone to pick with that Eric Paulson for years, and I'm really, really glad to support Dean Phillips. And so people like Brett and I, well, we've had to just follow this from afar, but we have a guest on the line, Alicia Donahue, who... Alicia, you were there today, and so much for that saying that there's no such thing as a free lunch, because you got a free ticket to the luncheon that was also a debate.
That's correct. Thank you for having me on today.
You're welcome. Hey, what'd you have for lunch? Let's start there.
So I arrived late because, let's be honest, this debate was in the middle of the work week and not accessible to those of us who have day jobs, but I was... honored to get a ticket from Mike Sweeney, who purchased 60 tickets after learning that there was a price for admission to this debate. And so I managed to move some things around within my schedule and make it there, but I missed lunch, unfortunately.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, when you got in, what was the energy like in the room? So I'm guessing that, you know, they gave some welcome and then there was a little bit of chitty chat while people were eating. By the time you got there, what was the feel in the room?
Everyone was really eager to hear what both candidates have to say. I think that the individuals in CD3 have been wanting an opportunity to hear from Eric Paulson firsthand about questions and issues that matter most to us. And I think people were really excited about the opportunity to finally get some answers from him. And of course, energized by the amazing things that Dean Phillips had to say as well. There was a noticeable difference in the introductions, after Paulson introduced Paulson, and he made his opening remarks, people clapped. But then when they introduced Dean and he made his opening remarks, there was a roar of applause. It was really clear that a change is coming.
Hey, I'm really glad to hear that. That buoys my spirit. Hey, there were 60 tickets that this person, Michael Sweeney, bought and then gave out to people so that those who couldn't afford or want to pay the money for $60 to be there could be there. How many people total were in the room? Do you know? Are you good at judging a crowd?
I am awful at judging a crowd, but I would say
to be a judger.
There was assigned seats and there was a code of conduct, so you are not supposed to use your phone or take pictures. But I was at table 19, and of course, it's sort of your traditional 8 at a table. So I would say there was probably 250 people there.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe those Sweeney tickets, that 60, kind of went to a more Phillips kind of crowd. All right. So you said you wanted to hear from Congressman Eric Paulson, because a lot of us don't get to hear from him. He doesn't show up a lot. He is only accessible through very tightly controlled channels. When you heard from him, was it what you thought you would hear, or were you at all encouraged or felt better about hearing from your current congressperson than you did before you walked in?
I have to laugh because I will say that, to answer the first part of your question, it was exactly what I thought I would hear. And it was like I was being, what is the phrase, being sold oil from a snake oil salesman. He was super slimy and continued to try to wiggle out of statements. He made some really just horrendous comments. He actually at one point had said, and I quote, "The good news is you have young people graduating from college that don't have as much of a challenge paying off student loans. There's upward mobility." And I retweeted after that he had said that later on and sent actually a screenshot of what my student loan debt is, which is $600 shy of $100,000. So I don't know what world Eric Paulson is living in, but it's not my world. And it's not the world of constituents in CD3. It's very clear that he's out of touch. And it was awful. The things that he seems, I don't know if he really believes these things or if he's just trying to sell us something that we think were going to buy. But it was exactly what I thought I would hear from him, and disappointing nonetheless.
Yeah. And how did you feel Dean Phillips did? What was that like? We're going to play some audio clips here in a bit. And it sounded to me, from what I was able to hear, that he was a little aggressive and a little snarky, kind of going right after Congressman Paulson. Did you have that sense in the room?
I think what Dean was doing was he, like so many of us, are tired of this song and dance and smoke and mirrors that Eric Paulson puts out, just like the rest of, or a good majority, I should say, of the administration that we have. You know, it's clear that Eric Paulson is trying to provide these false truths or mislead the conversation. And Dean really was just holding him to the facts. And I think it, where it may have come across as snarky, was really just what the rest of us are feeling, is that we're tired of being sold this half-truth or lies. At one point, Eric Paulson had made some comment about how he's accessible and how, you know, so much of what he does is based on the conversations he has with people. I don't know who he's meeting with.
That's hilarious.
Certainly not marginalized communities or people that he needs to be hearing from. It's the people that are lining his pocketbook.
I don't know who he's meeting with either. I couldn't speak to who he is meeting with. I know who he's not meeting with, and that's people that show up at his office, as I have done. Hey, Brett, could you play that little clip, the one where Dean Phillips says that it's a $60 ticket that it took you to get in here?
Yeah, give me just a couple seconds here, Doug.
Yeah, okay. This is a bit that I thought was kind of interesting, and I'm wondering if you were in the room for this. When I heard it, I thought, boy, that was a smart way for him to kind of make his statement how inaccessible.
Yeah, $60 for a day. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Here's the clip, by the way. I do have it ready now.
Now, many of you, in fact, most of you paid $60 to be here today, which is the least amount you'll probably ever have to pay to be in front of Congressman Paulson. I'm a different kind. I'm a different kind of candidate. I'm one who refuses all money from PACs, all money from special interests, all money from federal lobbyists, and all money from members of Congress, so that I'm only accountable to the voters of Minnesota's 3rd District. That's why I'm disappointed that Congressman Paulson once again refuses to sign the Simple Minnesota Way pledge.
All right. So obviously, Dean Phillips was making a larger point that he wants to, that he has the attitude to stay away from any of the outside money to fuel his campaign. But he was making this larger point that paying $60 is far less than what most people, I think he was hinting at, lobbyists would have to pay in order to get access to Eric Paulson. What were you in the room, Alicia, when that line was delivered?
Yes.
How did it go over?
I thought that he made a really great point, and it's something that I've been an activist in my community for, you know, at least the last 2 years. I've been doing other things before that, advocating for people involved in the healthcare industry, but really started paying attention to what was happening in CD3 after this last election. I did not vote for Eric Paulson last time around, but really started to pay attention to just how out of touch he was. And what Dean says is exactly what all of us are feeling. We've been asking him for town halls for, you know, a long time, and he doesn't respond, and he claims he has these robo town halls that I have asked to be on every single possible list that he might have to get a phone call, and never once have I gotten a call from his robo town halls. It's ridiculous that somebody who's supposed to be our voice in Washington, D.C. isn't meeting with anybody that isn't part of maybe the 1% or is part of a super PAC. You know, Dean had said that Paulson's votes does not match his quotes. And I think that was something that was really, really good as well, because it's so true that that Paulson has been bought. It's clear. It is on opensecrets.org. He's the 6th highest ranking. He's received the most amount of money from special interest groups. Out of 435 members of Congress, he's rated number 6. I mean, that's absurd. We have to change this.
Hey, Alicia, in addition to being a debate lunch attendee and the work that you have to do and to pay off those student loans, you are an organizer, and you tell people about what you've been organizing most recently.
Sure. I am an organizer, and it's something that kind of came up by surprise for me, but I seem to be fairly okay at it. I was one of the co-founders and lead organizers of the Women's March here in Minnesota in 2017. That was record-breaking for Minnesota and brought over 100,000 people to St. Paul.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and I just want to thank you for that. My wife was there, daughter was there, a number of friends of mine were there, and the work you put in was meaningful to them at the time and stays meaningful to them today. So thank you for your advocacy. Thanks for that organizing, for all that work, for taking time out of your day to get there this afternoon and to also be with us here on the show. Really appreciate it. That's Alicia Donahue, and thanks. Really love to chat with you anytime. All right,
Thank
this is Doug Padgett.
Me.
We'll be back here. Hey, you're welcome. This is Doug Padgett. We'll be back here after the break on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Out here the nights are long, the days are lonely. I think of you and I'm working on a dream.
Minnesota is home to the only major institution in North America devoted to Russian art, history, and culture. The Museum of Russian Art, located off 35W on Diamond Lake Road in South Minneapolis, can be your personal connection to extraordinary artists, stories, and context. We offer more exhibitions and events than ever before, from concerts and lectures to vodka tastings and more. Open daily, free parking, and a great Groupon deal. Find out more at tmora.org.
Due to unprecedented corporate media consolidation, roughly 6 corporations now dominate the media. For democracy to work, people need easy access to independent and diverse sources of news and information. I'm Amy Goodman. Join me and Juan Gonzalez as we speak with international journalists, grassroots leaders, peace activists, artists, academics, and independent analysts. Democracy Now! Offers real, independent news and analysis.
Catch Democracy Now! Every weekday at 2 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Laura Hedlund with Food Freedom Radio. We want a regenerative revolution. What's that? It's a food system that works for water, soil, pollinators, and people. How do we get it? Maybe by being a little more lazy. So this summer, we're looking for lazy good food recipes. We're talking about how do we create a sane, kind food system. Food Freedom Radio, Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime on podcast. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
Hey, Minnesota, this is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weeknights at 9 for an in-depth look at politics and current events on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
I'm working on a dream. I can feel so
songs there called Working on a Dream. It's what we're doing in this country. We're working on a dream in our own lives, in our families, in our spirituality, in our communities, in our politics. There's a dream and an imagination. And I'll tell you, Brett, on a day like today, a couple of things have come together that have caused me to say, I have a little more fire in my belly and a little more faith that the system's going to bounce back. The fact that, as we talked about in the last segment there with Alicia, that Eric Paulson did have to stand in front of people and answer questions. I know he doesn't do it all the time, but today he did. And the criminal enterprise that is the Trump administration took another blow today with the conviction of Paul Manafort on 8 counts of bank and tax fraud, and with not only Donald Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, being the one who entered a plea, guilty plea deal, which I think is happening right now or may have just happened. But he was also the vice chair of the Republican National Committee, finance chair. So somebody deeply tied in. And it just, I actually have a sadness in me about this. I'm glad that these guys are being caught. I'm glad something's being done, but it's just sad to me that the reality, just being confronted with the reality that the national security advisor to Donald Trump pleads guilty of conspiring against the United States, that the person who was vice chair of his campaign, Gates, pleads guilty. Paul Manafort, chairman of his campaign, found guilty. Personal lawyer and person who represents the Republican National Committee pleads guilty. Lock her up sounds like they're marching orders they wanted to endeavor in. It's I don't know. So it kind of feels like the system is coming back. It moves slowly. It doesn't go in the way that we always want. There's a lot of days, you know, I don't know, whatever we are, 700 days or something into the Trump administration. But for this number of people to plead guilty about their activities just associated with the Trump administration, like I'm a guy who gets arrested for social causes. I've been arrested 3 different times. I don't know this many people that get arrested as Donald Trump does. And I'm out there, you know, trying to do it for social causes to raise awareness. Here's a guy trying not to get arrested, and everybody around him seems like they're being prosecuted. So I don't know, Brett, do you have that sense that today's a day where even a sad and heavy feeling that it's a reminder that the system's going to push back?
I'm hoping the system pushes back, but I just think we're going to hear from so many of these Trump supporters saying, well, Trump didn't admit to anything, so it's a nothing burger. That's what we're going to see.
No, I think that's true. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's not his time yet. He's not gotten on the ride. I think his time is coming when he's getting on the ride. Everyone I know who's in politics likes to be judged by the people they get around them. In fact, I heard a politician say one time, I only hire the best people. All the best people want to work for me. I have access to the very finest of the very best. And even though I'm a new person to politics, this politician said, I will surround myself with the best that there is. Because I don't know what I'm doing, but these people sure do.
How many people in the Trump organization actually ended up working for him anyways? That kind of says a lot that people in his own organization wouldn't even work with him as president.
That's a good point.
That's what I was thinking was going to happen when he was elected. Well, he's just going to bring in all of his business partners. But no, he brought in crooked politicians, and they've, as you said, have all been arrested.
Criminals. I mean, in his cap, I just kind of ran for a second here. In his cabinet, he has, you know, multiple people that have to resign their posts because their behavior's something that's out of the norm. He's a Tasmanian devil of nonsense and destruction himself. And these people that were working for him on his campaign are going to jail. And the idea that, well, they're not going to jail or pleading guilty for things they did during the campaign. It was after the campaign. If you're the national security advisor, or it was things you did before the campaign, that almost makes it worse in my mind, because you're then saying the people you decided to hire were people that were into this kind of activity where prosecutors can bring a case against them for things they did before they even did the criminal activities that they may have done for you. The idea that, like, as you say, that the Trump supporters are going to say, and they should, that's what Trump supporters ought to say, is, well, that's not him. That's the people around him. Well, that's the problem. is if he wasn't good enough to figure out that his buddy Paul Manafort and Gates and Mike Flynn were not the kinds of people that you would want to surround yourself with if you want to be the president of the United States. I don't know, really, really sort of gets me. But and back to this Eric Paulson thing. It sort of reminds me here too that you can run for so long, but then at some point you're going to face the voters. And that's the good thing about a 2-year cycle for Congress people. I know that anybody who's run for Congress, and I would love to sometime, so I'll put myself in the same category. You have to be campaigning all the time, right? Not only fundraising, but you're always in campaign mode because it's a 2-year cycle, right? You have to be reelected every two years. But the system, if there was any wisdom in the early structure of the system, that's how it was designed, so that Congress people would be very close to their constituents. Senators, they're every 6 years, and that's supposed to be that way so they can have some breathing room, because the Senate was supposed to be a more deliberative body and the House of Representatives is supposed to be a more connected body to the constituents. So you're supposed to be in the crucible all the time of having to answer to the voters. And so it makes me feel pretty good that old Eric Paulson had to face his own jury today. And on November 6th, we'll face a jury. And that's the day, November 6th. We shall remember this. Not every day of the year do you get to do something about it. But on November 6th, that's a day you can do something. Hey, but Brett, you were saying that that Hunter turned you on to a little story about Eric Paulson's robocall town meetings that he does, where he gets these people on a conference call.
Yeah, and you might have to ask him for the full story when he's in producing tomorrow. But basically, what Hunter told me is that he actually got a call from Eric Paulson inviting him to one of the town hall meetings. Unfortunately, I think it was right around dinner time, so he wasn't able to answer the phone. So it went straight to voicemail. It was a recording of Eric Paulson saying, "Hey, this is an Eric Paulson town hall meeting. Please call back at this number and we'll get you on." So Hunter, of course, called back at that number, and it just went through to his general office. And nothing from there. So
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The idea that, I mean, you're only a congressperson, right? Like your constituency base isn't that big. And I've always thought that all of our representatives should keep office hours in local restaurants and libraries multiple times a month. They should have to be there. You can walk in, you can sit down, you can talk to them. Even our state representatives and state senators, I feel like, aren't anywhere close to being as accessible as they should. Now, they are if you are a highly sophisticated person that knows how to navigate the Capitol, or if you know how to navigate even finding their campaign office, you could get access to them. But boy, it just seems to me that we should be able that our politicians should be available in all kinds of places, even just going around and doing civics lessons. Like helping people to understand what it is that you do for your job and how it is that you represent them and what you would like them to ask you. Like, be in the role of advocating for the work that you do. And so often our politicians find themselves hunkered away in their offices or behind their staff, and they don't want to get caught up in a conversation they shouldn't be in. And I think that's something we should do. There's something we should do about that, including having all of them on your favorite radio station, including this one. So we're putting that call out all the time. Maybe we'll be talking to Dean Phillips tomorrow. I hope that happens. And Eric Paulson, if you're listening, come on. We've got room to hear up. Doug Padgett, we'll be back here after the break.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible, for many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetimes. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
The State Fair has always been full of treats. From corn dogs to cheese curds to anything on a stick, Now you can add a new furnace and air conditioner to that list. Announcing Standard Heating and Air Conditioning State Fair Sale. Get a new air conditioner for just $2,500 when you install a new high-efficiency furnace by September 3rd. Discover more about how you can take advantage of Standard State Fair Sale at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. With summertime here, my family is super excited about the road trips we'll be taking in our Toyota Sienna. We're going to be putting a lot of miles in, but a Sienna is the most comfortable way to drive. Plenty of room for the five of us to stretch out and enjoy the ride, even with the dog and all of our gear tagging along. Safety and reliability are key, and Rudy Luther Toyota Siennas are the most safe, most reliable vehicles we've ever driven. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hello, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday as I help you make sense of the issues of the day with some much-needed wit. Today on the show, we continue to babysit the Manafort jury. Also, the reports about criminal charges against Michael Cohen, Trump's fixer and lawyer, are bringing that issue forward. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 51. Wednesday sunny with a high near 79. Thursday partly cloudy with a high near 80. And Friday showers and storms with a high around 76. Use Snap Construction for your next home improvement project. You can trust Snap as they're an A-rated Angie's List Super Service award-winning contractor. Plus, they're the first company in the metro to push the lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Call 612-333-SNAP for a free no-obligation quote or visit snapconstruction.com.
Hey, welcome back to AM 950. Doug Padgett in today. Hey, Brett, I don't know if you've been watching the news. I haven't been able to keep up on it, but this big news here on Paul Manafort and Cohen really seems like it's going to be meaningful. And I know we were saying before the break that we don't think it's going to really turn the hardened Trump voter, but I think it should harden our resolve. Right, as people who think that someday it doesn't have to be like this. And what do you think? Do you think this is going to be a real turning point? Do you think the Congress will start to public opinion will change on the Mueller investigation, and then people in Congress and the Senate will start to have a little more a passion about standing up to Donald Trump? Do you think it'll just crack enough, or do you think everything's just gonna click along and move on as is?
Unfortunately, I hate to kind of be the pessimist, but I'm not sure it's really going to change much in terms of public opinion. But where it could change is maybe with some of these Congress people that are running in districts that are kind of that purplish shade blue. I'm kind of looking at you, mm-hmm. Eric Paulson and Jason Lewis and those two guys, possibly maybe having to be a little bit tougher on Donald Trump and maybe actually launching an investigation. You know, Eric Paulson tried to make the point during the debate today that he's very tough on Trump, and the GOP House always making sure they're overseeing Trump, which of course is a total joke, as I'm sure you're well aware of. So we'll see. Maybe this pushes them in more of a direction, at least congressionally, of actually launching an investigation into Donald. Not that it would be much. I think we'd be much better off with the Democratic House doing that.
Yeah, and now here in, you know, 9 days, here comes here comes Vice President Pence storming back into the state of Minnesota. They've really got the White House and, you know, the RNC's really got their sights set on Minnesota. Like, it's become a battleground place for all this presidential agenda and the Trumpian takeover of the Republican Party. They are trying to push it all the way through. Here in Minnesota. So as much as we would think, well, you know, that's not really us, and those aren't the people we're going to vote for, they don't see it that way. The Trump apparatus wants to pay a lot of attention to Minnesota and wants to shape it in its image.
Yeah, they definitely are trying to do that. In fact, I was actually looking at the 538 House forecast. They just released that a couple of days ago where they project who's going to win every seat. Yeah, and the Republicans.
I'm still a little gun shy about those 538ers and their promise, like that 8% chance of winning. I can't shake it out of my
to
head.
To their but credit, anyway. Though, I mean, the New York Times and a lot of other places were saying, yeah, it was Hillary 95%. They were only at 75%. They were a little bit lower on that, so I will give them credit. But the point is, though, they're only projecting the Republicans to flip one seat from Democratic to Republican, and that one seat happens to be in Minnesota up in the 8th District. While they're calling the first district a literal 50-50 chance. So, yeah, Republicans projected to only get one gain of a seat, and that's actually in Minnesota, which is probably why we're seeing good old Mike Pence coming back here yet again.
Yeah, and remind me again, that first congressional district that they're also hoping to win, what district is that?
So the first district, this is the one they're projecting as being a literal 50-50 toss-up. Yeah. There are only a couple others like this. That is Dan Feehan. He's the Democrat running, and he's a really strong candidate. He reminds me a lot of Tim Walz, where he's an Iraq war veteran, got a great story working for the State Department, grew up in Red Wing, very strong candidate, one of the better guys I think the DFL could have gotten to run. And he's going up against a guy named Jim Hagedorn, who's run for that seat, I think, two or three other times, but he's been in all sorts of controversy for having a blog back in the 2000s called Mr. Conservative, where he made several very bad remarks about minorities, women, you name it. He pretty much offended everyone he could. But that's the first congressional district. That's southern Minnesota, basically. CD8 is the one they're projecting could go Republican. That's basically northeastern Minnesota. That's Joe Radinovich, the Democrat, running against Pete Stauber, the Republican, who I believe worked at the sheriff's office in St. Louis County.
Yeah, I paid a lot of attention to that one, and I don't know. I know the people who are more into that the details of each of those districts think that, but I don't think Stauber's going to win. I think the wave is just going to build over the next 79 days, and I happen to know that because I'm doing a big campaign thing that ends on election day. So the countdown to election day is haunting in my life. And I think over these next 2 months and a week, I think the public opinion is going to shift. I think all the anxiety, we're tired. I think the country is going to get a second wind, and we're going to look at ourselves and we're going to say, this isn't who we are. This doesn't fit us. And people are going to rally. That's my prediction. People are going to rally, and it's going to be a wave that just overwhelms all the, what's often referred to as gerrymandering or putting together these congressional districts to be supportive of Republicans outstate.
I hope you're right. Just CD8 has me a little worried, because that's about the only district in the country where Trump's tariffs actually do help that district, just because of the the tariffs they've put on. But with steel coming from China, the rest of the country is going to hurt tremendously just because they're killing the ag industry. But that's the only one that has me really worried, is that people are saying, well, these Trump tariffs are actually helping us, even though, of course, the long run they're not.
That's right. They're not. And I think that the amount of benefit that you're getting from that steel tariff right now, how it's affecting all the other people around you who aren't in that industry, they're in all the others. I think it's either going to be a wash, or people are going to say, this, it's just not working. Here's what I think is going to happen. Once a shyster is shown to be a shyster, once it's obvious that someone's shtick doesn't work anymore, it stops working in like a cascade effect in your life. You just don't trust anything they say anymore. Some Republican or some Democrats we know have experienced this kind of thing. Hillary Clinton suffered deeply from that she just became untrustworthy. The numbers of moments of frustration start to compound. And I think that's what's going to happen to Donald Trump. I think when the whole claiming all the stuff being a witch hunt, when he tries to say that, you're a victim and I'm the only one that can stand up to you, and it's the deep conspiracy that's keeping me from freeing you, I think people are going to look around and go like, no, that's not actually the way that it is. Just enough for people to say, I'm not as enthusiastic as I was before. And I think we're seeing through your game playing. That's my prediction of what's going to happen in a lot of these congressional races, because people will turn out. It's so much about turnout, and the people that will turn out, you know, in 2018 in a midterm election tend to be people who feel like they have a lot more to risk than the people who feel like things are going well for them. So this idea that, you know, people are thinking like, well, I don't know, Trump's kind of doing what he said. They tend not to come out as much as the Alicias that we talk to and people like you and me that are like, oh, this is our one shot to do something about this. And I'd love to hear from callers if they have a sense of this. If they're starting now, that we're just getting into late August. Now, we're not quite to the state fair yet, but that's about when it starts to rev up and you feel this feeling of the fall. Are they feeling this sense? So 952-946-6205. Are you getting a sense in the people you talk to and the people that you engage with that it's starting to build, that there's a, we are going to make a change here, that we're not going to stand for this any longer? And I think every time there's one of these news stories that feels like it's either, hey, this person was convicted, like is happening today, or a news story that I saw that was about lobster fisher people, almost all fishermen, but lobster fisher people in Maine having to lay off a third of their workforce in places like, you know, rural Maine, because there's a 25% tariff on lobster going into China as China's retaliation for the Trump tariffs. I think all of that's going to start to build and people are going to say, you know, it's really, really important that we do something about it. And that is going to catch that populist flow and that populist move. I think it's going to start tipping people over the edge. So I'd love to know your thoughts. 952-946-6205. I mean, you know, don't pop my bubble too fast if you're saying to yourself, no, I don't think there's any chance that this is going to happen. But if you do, I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you're hearing it from people, seeing it on social media, talking to friends, coworkers, others that you run into, do you have a sense that this wave is coming, this pushback, this day of reckoning? Is it something that you think is coming down the pike? And I believe it, not only, I mean, sort of anecdotally, but I guess my deep belief in it is just, I think that's how people are, especially here in the state of Minnesota. I think it's such a reasonable group of people, even outstaters, right? Even in what we would often refer to as sort of Trump land and Trump country. It just doesn't fit the people of this state. And I think the way that the Trump administration is and the way the Congress people that are having to follow in his stead and follow in his path, I think they're feeling the same thing, that it's just not going to be to their, it's just not going to be to their liking. And hey, do you think Brett, do you think when people like Pence come in town, do you think that's a boon? Do you think that means that they're super excited, or do you think it's a sign that they're in trouble?
I don't know if Pence really excites anybody, does he? I mean, I can understand Trump firing up their base, but I just can't imagine many people. I mean, the office of the vice presidency will obviously get some people out there because that's a big deal. But I just don't know if Mike Pence brings a lot of firepower to getting people fired up to go out and vote, you know, as opposed to our last vice president, Joe Biden, who I think was a very good public speaker and actually did kind of get people fired up. I just don't see that in Mike Pence. So I don't understand why they're necessarily doing it, because I just don't think he does them a whole lot of good.
You know, on that note, is he the least like active and least effective vice president in modern history? Normally, and I know I pay attention, you know, like you do, we pay attention to this more than most people, but I would know what projects or what initiatives or what hopes the vice president has for the country or what they're working on. Like, the vice presidents always have a thing, right? Dick Cheney was trying to take over the world, and Joe Biden was doing a whole number of things around healthcare and around supporting research. What does Mike Pence do? Literally, what does that guy do all day?
I think maybe just try to stay away from Trump, so if he gets removed from office, he can stay in. Although I think if Trump goes down, Pence is going to go with him.
Oh, you do? You think if there's an impeachment?
I think it would be hard to not tie Mike Pence to him. That would seem like a pretty tall hill for Republicans to climb, to try to keep Pence in office if Trump were impeached and it got that bad.
Well, that's an interesting take there, producer Brett, because I was assuming that what was going to happen was that there were, that the true conservatives were going to come to their senses and they were going to say, let's get rid of Trump and get Pence in there and have a conservative president for the first time in the history of our country, a real conservative, this kind of guy. That's what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were going to, you know, sort of rally around him, and they would lose all sense of feeling like they have to defend the Donald, and they were going to turn all of it over to Pence and say it's actually in our best interest as conservatives to get Trump out of there and to get a true conservative in. So we're all for his removal. That's what I thought was going to happen. Hey, we're going to hear from Mimi here from St. Paul here after the break, but we're going to run into a break here, and these commercials matter. Listen to them, and you know. Go to the places and talk to the people who talk to you here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Well, a doctor. Minnesota has a lot going on this summer, and I don't want to miss a moment of it. However, my carpets remind me of the good times later. That's why I call Zero Res. I'm not willing to waste a beautiful summer weekend washing rugs, so don't worry, because the carpet cleaning heroes at Zero Res can help. So schedule your cleaning today by calling 952-ZERO-RES, or you can book online at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Don't forget to ask for the special AM 950 listener pricing. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward. It spells the same.
Hi, this is Paul Metz, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Sarah from Vinaigrette. Farmers markets are everywhere, and summer's bounty is limitless. Try a rustic caprese salad using spring mix, fresh mozzarella, grape or cherry tomatoes, red onion, fresh basil, garlic olive oil, and our 18-year-age balsamic. Or try grilled romaine brushed with Tunisian olive oil. Vinaigrette makes it easy to love your vegetables. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis, or 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
One of those big political news days today. Glad you listened at AM 950. It's an important day in our country. It's one of those days where the reckoning is being felt by people all over, that people close to the president of the United States are being found guilty of crimes by juries in courtrooms and not just in radio talk shows and on the internet, but where people take a moment and they stop and they say, did this person commit a crime? And I feel this sense of being so relieved and so elated. And by the way, Paul Manafort apparently found guilty on 8 of 18 charges. And there's some people who I'm sure will say, well, there's 10 of those charges he wasn't found guilty on, which is a good response. You know, like that's if I were a Trump supporter, I would say that kind of thing. I'd say, well, you know, on more than half of them, he actually wasn't found guilty. So, you know, but there was a hung jury, which means that it's a mistrial. So they can come back and try him again on those. He was not found innocent. He was not found not guilty. It was a jury that couldn't make a decision. It was unanimous on 8 of those charges. And Cohen didn't even get himself to the point of a jury. He just said himself, OK, I will plead guilty to whatever it is that he has pled guilty to. And it's in that context that we have all of our races happening here in the state of Minnesota, that now you have Lewis and you have Paulson and you have Schauber and you have all these people saying, I'm supporting a president that's surrounded by these people. I too surround him. And I join hands with this kind of crowd. Brett, it's really something.
Yeah, and Jason Lewis especially is really going all in for Donald Trump, unlike Eric Paulson, who was during that debate today at every instant trying to run away from Donald Trump. And you could have almost had one of those drinking games saying every time he said, well, I voted for this bill with Amy Klobuchar, trying to make himself.
I heard that. But should play that clip for people if you can find it there.
I unfortunately didn't have time to cut that one out. But yeah.
Well, there was this one where he says, "You know, I voted only 80% or 70%."
Oh, sure, yeah, we can play that one.
Yeah, but anyway, go ahead and make your point, because I think for people to hear Eric Paulson try to dance himself around how he's not a Trumpite, and this is going to be true across the board, and mm-hmm. I think we should push all of our politicians. You know, I keep asking every congressional candidate that wants to come on this show, and I hope that they all will, what their stance is on if they should stand up to Donald Trump, because I think one of our primary needs that we have in any person seeking the House of Representatives is, will you use the power that is solely granted to the House of Representatives to be a stop on a renegade president? Sure, it's a criminal enterprise. Sure, his incompetence is dangerous. Most certainly, he's a demagogue. But only the House of Representatives can say this person's behavior has gone to the level of a crime or a misdemeanor of the highest level against this country. And I think every person who's seeking office, to be a congressperson, needs to answer that question. Do you support putting brakes on the president? And you can hear hear Eric Paulson. This is how he wants to pitch it. I mean, he tries to pitch himself as if, hey, I'm the kind of guy I'd impeach Trump by what he says here. And as Alicia told us, what Dean Phillips said today is, your quotes don't match your votes. That's a great line. That is a great line. Mm-hmm. I'm going to steal that. But are we good to play that little piece from our friend Eric Paulson?
Yeah, just before I do, I was going to say, Doug, that, yeah, he's the only one that's trying to run away from Trump. Of the other three competitive races, Hagedorn, Stauber, and Lewis are all completely embracing Donald Trump. They're not running away at all. But, yeah, anyways, here's what Eric Paulson said about voting with Trump.
The 97% figure, let's just break it down. 70% of those bills that passed and were signed by the president were bipartisan, that had a bipartisan Democrat and a Republican co-author. In fact, that's the highest record in 20 years. 20 years, which is pretty impressive. And by the way, of that 70%, Senator Klobuchar, a Democrat, voted 91%.
Congressman Paulson talks a lot about Jim Ramstad. He borrowed his colors. He worked for him. But I know Jim Ramstad, and you're no Jim Ramstad. And Jim Ramstad during his tenure in Congress had about a 70% score voting with his own party. That's thoughtfulness.
That's a great little clip there, Brett, where and this use of percentages is a very curious thing, right? You hear Paulson say, hey, you know, 70% of the votes that I made were bipartisan. And that's a huge number. Like, we're a really bipartisan Congress. And it's because there's such a small number of bills that have been passed. Mm-hmm. The kinds of things that pass are like these ones that you just pass because you have to continue funding the government that don't have a partisan opinion about them. There's some things that Congress has to do that aren't lined up by bipartisan or even particular thoughtfulness. They're procedural votes that you're voting on. So this idea that a big percentage, like a high percentage of a small number, is still really a problem. But the fact that there's 27% of the time that that are not these procedural votes, that Eric Paulson votes with Trump. Of that 27%, he's there on all the important issues and is totally enwrapped into him. And I think there's, you know, that this is what it is. It's always been this way in this country, that the midterm elections are a referendum on is the congressperson connected to and deeply embedded with the current president. And that's how it goes. That's the flow, and it's designed to be that way. Are you performing in a way that causes your constituents to think that you're respecting them, and or are you just respecting the president of the United States?
Yeah, 97%. That's a lot of votes going with Trump. Here's the other interesting thing he said was that, well, I'm in the top 10 of GOP congressmen that break with Trump, which may actually be true, but that's more of a reflection of the GOP that you're in the top 10 voting against Trump, but you're still with him like 97% of the time. That's still not saying a whole lot.
That's incredible. And of those times that he broke, some of those were on the, I mean, I don't want to get into his record here too much because it's boring for people, but some of those were in that like procedural side of things, right? You get freebie votes just to pad your stats by just stepping away on something that really doesn't matter, because what you're trying to do is make yourself sound like you're someone you're not. And this is what I don't understand about Eric Paulson. I sure hope we don't see this when we have Congressman Phillips, is why don't you want to just run on what you've actually done and what you believe and how you've led your constituents? Why do you want to run from your record? This is something I've rarely understood about politicians. I mean, there's so many better ways to step across the aisle than to try to convince people that you are not responsible for the way that you've approached the world. It's really something, and it's going to take all of us. This is politics is full-time effort. It's not a spectator sport. We all need to be in. We appreciate you listening to this station. We appreciate your contribution and getting out there and talking to people. I saw somebody driving down the road today, right behind him, with an AM950 bumper sticker on the back of their car. So if you were on Crosstown Highway going west today about 3 o'clock in a red Echo, saw that car of yours. We really appreciate you being out there and telling people about AM950. Tell your friends, find those advertisers when you're around. Tell them you listen to this station and what you talk about, and engage people, even if you think they don't want to talk about politics, because this is our time. Doug Padge, we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.